Not many opportunities like this that you get in a lifetime. This is a very young season right now. A lot at stake on this football game. But for what you pay the price for, there are great rewards.
Are you ready?
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Welcome to The Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Hope everyone out there is having a fantastic morning so far. Today is Wednesday, January 22nd. The year is 2020. We are here, and we got a packed show ahead. We got some big stuff to talk about today. I'm excited to get into it. My name is Rick Butler, joined by Brandon Orrick to my left. Weston Brown, the fish, is on his way. And, of course, as always, Chance Collins is in the house as well. How are we doing today, fellas?
Doing pretty good, Rick.
Yeah, doing pretty good?
Yeah, feeling good, feeling great.
All right, good to hear.
We're going to have to dock Fish.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, he misses yesterday. He's running late today. It's unacceptable.
Bachelor gate.
We can't.
You think he's still trying to hide from it? I can see it.
This type of behavior cannot be tolerated.
What are you going to do? You're going to put your foot down? I mean, I'll stand by you with what you do, but what do you propose?
I don't know, but corrective action must be taken.
All right. Well, as soon as you think of something, I guess we'll take it to a vote.
Ray's gonna drop the bomb on
the three of us. It kind of sounds like he's ready to.
Hey, do what you gotta do, huh, Brandon?
Maybe putting him on a little probation.
It's good today. That's good though. We have a firm but fair Brandon Orrick in the house today. I like it.
Fair. He's pretty fair. I'll give him that.
A try.
Guys, before he gets in here, though, we do have to discuss something that we're going to have to deal with today, and we're going to have to deal with on Saturday. But Fish could have a very gigantic planetary level I told you so on the three of us. Well, we got to be prepared for it because we're just going to have to sit back and take it.
Well, we were talking about this last night.
We are just going to have to sit back and take it.
And I think this is accurate, but we may have been just building it up. But did he not say that he saw, that he dreamed that we beat Kansas? Is that not what he said?
I think it is.
I think it was along those lines. You never know with that guy, though. I believe it was something like that.
That we beat Kansas, and that's what caused him to say that we would beat us, that we would beat them on Saturday. And he's doubled down on it for... I mean, really, he's tripled down. I guess it's been probably almost a month and a half since he did this. So,
I mean, granted, if he gets it, it's going to be out of very lucky circumstances. But nonetheless, I think the three of us are going to have to prepare for the fact that Fish may have one of the biggest I told you so's in this show's short history. And we're just going to have to take it. There's nothing we can do about it.
I mean, I'll gladly take it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, for the win?
I'll gladly take it. Beat number three, Kansas, on the road. I'll take it.
Did you guys know that College Game Day is going to be there?
I did.
I heard that last night.
I think we talked about that.
A little bit?
Yeah, we had mentioned that it was going to be there. I think maybe even Fish was the one who mentioned that last week sometime. Because we were like, oh, you know, this is before the brouhaha.
The Donnybrook. Yeah.
The Donnybrook.
The Scuttlebutt.
Scuttlebutt? Mm-hmm. Is that a name for a fight?
I think that's rumors.
That's Scuttlebutt? What's the word I'm thinking of?
A scuffle?
Maybe. A good old-fashioned slobber knocker?
Yeah, like, yeah, scuttlebutt is definitely rumors.
Oh.
You might even...
I thought that was like when you got a bunch of guys like pushing and shoving against each other.
You might even like, couldn't you even call someone a scuttlebutt?
I don't know. I mean, I guess you can call somebody whatever you want to.
I'm going to look this one up.
I think my favorite is Brouhaha. I love that one.
Yeah, that one was good.
Donnybrook is also a great one.
Yeah. That is just one of the many things we got planned to talk about in today's show. Of course, Tennessee and Ole Miss had a game yesterday. Vols looked dominant. We'll get into that here to start out the program. Then we're going to get into the Kansas stuff. We've already mentioned it a little bit, but holy WrestleMania, Kansas, and just a giant brawl just a couple days before Tennessee goes down to Lawrence to take on the Jayhawks. What else do we have? The draft, the NFL draft is moving to Las Vegas. What kind of fun things are they going to do there in Sin City?
Oh
yeah.
Las Vegas, obviously, I mean, no stranger to putting on the show.
No. And they will.
They've definitely got the plans for it to be a crazy, crazy draft.
Let's see. We have MLB Hall of Fame nominations going out. Yep. I think there's one big story with the Hall of Fame voting that I think everyone's gravitating to for obvious reasons. Who is the one guy that didn't vote Derek Jeter in first ballot? I believe he had all but one vote. Who's that one guy? And what kind of Yankee bias, or excuse me, what kind of Red Sox bias does he have?
You don't know that.
Oh, of course you do.
No, you don't.
Of course you do. And then finally, we'll end with some college football. What is Tennessee's recruiting rankings after Harrison Bailey finds that fifth star? What does this actually make Harrison Bailey in terms of Tennessee's all-time recruit status? And then last but not least, we didn't get a chance to hit on it yesterday, but tons of quarterbacks moving around in the world of college football. Which one of those will affect the Tennessee Volunteers next year? Because there will. There'll be at least one. So that is a little bit what we got on the show today. Weston Brown has entered the building.
Nice of him to join us after a couple days. I mean, were you listening on the way in, Fish? You can just nod your yes.
Oh, he was. He was.
So are you prepared for corrective action? Maybe 2 weeks probation?
Hitting you with the old two-weeker.
So what is it?
You missed yesterday's show. You're
Bachelor Gate.
You're about 10 minutes late today.
Hey.
Unacceptable.
I'll let you know. I had other duties yesterday. Today's on me.
Yeah, okay. At least you're owning it.
Today's on me.
All right.
I had to stop for like a McGriddle or something.
Nope. Went out. Wasn't expecting the car to be frosted over.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Well, it's freezing cold outside.
It's weird. Some days it does. Some days it doesn't.
Yeah.
The car was frosted over.
When it's cold, it usually does.
When you park in the shade, it typically stays a little bit icy a little bit longer. When you typically park in the sunshine, it'll melt quicker. Pro tip.
My wife took the car yesterday. It was bone dry on gas.
Oh, no.
But today's on me.
Sounds like you're kind of throwing her under the bus.
Nope. I should have woke up earlier. Today's on me. I'll let you guys know yesterday. I had obligation yesterday.
Okay.
I feel like that was a pretty good defense.
We'll allow it.
I'll let him pass this time.
All right, so, hey, let's not waste any more time. Let's get right into this. Yesterday at Thompson Bowling Arena, we got the Rebels of Ole Miss in the house, but they did not stay there. Tennessee takes down Ole Miss by a score of 73-48, a 25-point victory, and just an all-around dominant performance from Tennessee. Seemed to really kind of carry the second half of Vanderbilt through to this game. And I think an all-around great game. This is exactly what you wanted to see, especially now that, you know, we kind of learned what was happening with Kansas in the middle of the game yesterday. Everyone's mind obviously gravitating towards, oh, okay, well, what does this mean for Saturday? Who's going to get suspended for Saturday? Do we look good enough to potentially compete Saturday? Well, we'll put that on hold right now. Because I thought that overall Tennessee, they came out, they did what they needed to. I thought they scored the ball well. They played good defense. They shut down Brian Tyree, Ole Miss's best player. An all-around great game, I thought.
Well, I mean, he still got his. I mean, he had 18.
Well, sure. But, I mean, you're shooting 7 of 22, 3 of 9. At some point, their guy's going to get their points, but, man, you held that a lot better than Florida and LSU and some of these other schools did.
Yeah, and, I mean, besides him, nobody else was really a factor. Shuler had 11, but other than that, nobody else could hit anything.
Because, I mean, in a way, you let Tyree get his, and you basically just say, hey, but nobody else is going to score the ball. Well, I mean, we're not going to let this team collectively get hot, help out Tyree. You know, he's just going to get his own, but we're going to make sure that nobody else can contribute at all. And that was a good game plan, and that's pretty much what they did. Ole Miss missed a lot of shots yesterday. And you can see it from the box score. I mean, you look at some of these field goals, one made field goal, one made, two made, one made, one made, one made. I mean, so many of their guys just could only get one shot to fall.
19 of 63. That's what they went from the floor.
30.2%. They shot 20% from three-point range. Watching this game, did you feel like, you know, hey, Tennessee's defense came to step up, or were you just like, hey, they just kind of look like they're missing some shots?
It's hard to say, but since that Georgia game, and I know Tennessee's played two teams that are probably not that good.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt's not good. Ole Miss is not that good.
Bad.
But it looks, since that Georgia game, which the defense looked terrible, they've kind of picked it up on the defensive end. And, I mean, you've gave up 45 and 48 points in your last two games.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Certainly stepping up.
Getting back to whenever you can't score, they're just getting back to their old ways, playing a lot of aggressive defense, doing what Tennessee had been known for the last couple of seasons, just really physical. Yves Pond, can't say enough about him. I mean, just a rim protector. He had some nice blocks last night. And just, I mean, the way the guys are, you know, back against the wall, they see the light that this, what we talked about yesterday, this conference isn't as strong as people thought the top half was going to be. Like, teams are going down left and right, and they still, maybe not to win the conference, but they still have a damn good chance to finish, you know, top three for sure.
I mean, when I guess whenever Turner went out and we had lost to Wisconsin and LSU came in here and kind of had their way with us, and then I think people kind of hit the panic button a little bit. Oh, this team's going to be terrible without.
By people, do you mean you?
Well, I mean,
I'm just saying, holding you accountable.
I didn't think that we would be terrible, but I mean, I do think a lot of fans were a little worried.
We were searching for answers, and I think rightfully so.
Because at that point, Turner was going to be out. You didn't know about Vescovi. You didn't
still
know
no word
you
on
didn't,
Plavsic.
You didn't know about Plavsic. And now you've kind of had all those things work out in your favor, and judging off the last two games, which, like I said earlier, take that for what it is, two teams that are not so great, and we'll find out on Saturday how good we actually are.
Sure.
But it seems like this team is kind of figuring it out on the offensive end a little bit more. I mean, Fulkerson last night had 18 points. Bowden continues to play better. He had 11.
Hey, how about your guy Kamwa?
Yeah. Double digits last night.
A perfect game. 3 for 3 the field, 4 for 4 from the charity stripe, 4 rebounds, 10 points overall.
I really want him to be good.
And you know what? We were having the conversation during the game last night.
Yeah, you said you didn't like
him. You had to convince me about him. No, yeah. I didn't say I didn't like him. That's not true. No, I'll say exactly what I said. I said, hey, there's just a weird feeling that I have. That there's more bust than boom potential with him. That's what I said, and I did feel like that. And you let me know of a quote that Rick Barnes had said that I didn't even realize. And that he said that Kamwa is one of those guys who has potential that he doesn't even know about that yet. And the last guy he said that about was?
Grant Williams.
There you go. So, I mean, that certainly perked my ears, and then to watch him just go 3 for 3 and go perfect from the free throw line, Man, you're right. I think that when you do watch him, it's certainly still developing, but you can see a skeleton of a very, very good game in there.
Yeah, I mean, and he's still a freshman. He's got a lot to learn.
He can still. I mean, Rick Barnes does an excellent job of developing. That's why I like. Yeah. It's, you know, as a Tennessee fan and as a fan in general, it's hard not to push a panic button. But I mean, the proof is in the pudding. Proof is in the formula. He's done it. He can develop guys that nobody's talking about into, you know, stars in the SEC. I mean, he can do it. Like, with guys that want to work hard, if they buy into his system, he can definitely show them a lot, and he can make them a better player. I think Kumwah could be one of those guys. I think there's you saw flashes lately of Jalen Johnson playing a lot better than people expected. I just think we just got to take each game. It's cliche, one game at a time. Can't hold too much expectations for this team. They're not a lock in the tournament, but they can still get to the tournament for sure. They can still run through the SEC, be the second best team, third best team. I know LSU's still undefeated, but they can still do some things that fans can be proud of, and it can still be a pretty good season with what you have on paper. You ain't got a lot. We can't even look over that. But at the same time, no, you got to trust in Barnes. Then you got to trust in the process a little bit. Guys went out, covered last night easily. Also, just, you know, proved a little. I think a lot of people were pressing the panic button and just kind of down and out about the team. It was a good win last night. Definitely a good win.
Yeah, I think certainly once you've seen them have a little bit of time to mesh together, I mean, I can't imagine that it's an easy task to bring in two newcomers. I know that Plavsic isn't really a newcomer. I mean, he's obviously been with the team this whole season and a lot leading into the season, but it is still a difference when you're on the court and you're going game speed against an opponent. But it can't be easy. It can't be easy bringing in a point guard from overseas of all places and have to put him into a prominent role on this team. So, yeah, it's certainly taken a couple of games to mesh together, but I think it certainly has. And I think that, you know, you do see Tennessee at least starting to figure it out at certainly the right time.
And what did we say Tennessee needed? I guess it was last week. What was the number? 20. 20 wins.
Uh-huh.
Eight more.
No.
I mean, you've got...
And you can find those opportunities.
You've got two wins so far this... I mean, you got to win Saturday. You got to win last night. And, I mean, we'll probably take a break here in just a second and come back and talk about it. But things are looking pretty good for Saturday.
Who knows?
Pretty good.
As they said on the broadcast, there will be ramifications.
So, Fish, let me get this straight before we dive into this.
Oh, yeah.
You did say you dreamed this, correct?
I can't remember if it was a dream or like just
an epiphany.
Yeah.
Jinx. You want me a soda?
A premonition.
Wow.
I can't remember if I physically dreamed it or... But anyway, I did imagine us winning. And I don't know why. I didn't see this. I'm not going to act like I saw this fight coming.
Are you a prophet?
I don't know. Maybe.
It's a sign.
I know you are in that one club. They who shall not be named. I don't want them coming after me.
You better just stop right now while you're ahead, Chance.
No, but yeah, we got a good shot on Saturday, and I'll be happy to do I Told You So.
I'll be happy for you to do one.
Yeah, you will have earned it. You triple down three times on the same bet. Tennessee over Kansas. Hey, what the hell happened in Lawrence, Kansas last night? We'll get into it next. A giant brawl. Spoiler alert. That's the answer. All right, 10:23 a.m. back here on the Blitz. Broadcasting live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. If you want to get in on the show today, give us a call. 865-546-8200. That is your number to call. And we talked about it a second ago, but wow. A brawl, a gigantic fight breaking out at the end of the Kansas State game yesterday. This was basically happening right at the beginning of the Tennessee game, or at least somewhere in the first half. And here's basically what happened. So Kansas ended up winning the game 81-60. But essentially what happened is that Kansas's forward, Silvio D'Souza, he had the ball stolen away towards the end of the game in the last few seconds by K-State's DeJuan Gordon. So DeJuan Gordon takes the ball up. He's going to go, you know, make a layup. It's not going to matter. It only adds 2 points into the score. But D'Souza comes back up, blocks it at the rim, and then stares down at Gordon and obviously says something, because seconds later, it is a bench-clearing brawl taking place on the court. I mean, dudes are flying everywhere. It looked like the dadgum pillow fight we watched on The Bachelor, except way worse and including wooden stools. This was way more WrestleMania. This was crazy last night.
Was there a wooden stool? I just saw a chair.
Maybe it was a...
It was a chair.
Was it like a steel chair?
It was like a fold. Yeah,
it was just like
chair.
It
was a folding chair. That's
oh, I thought
bench.
It was just it like
It's just like a little the little stool. It's just like a circular seat with
the one that they put out on the court to sit on?
Yeah. Yeah. And he was about to crack somebody over the skull.
He was about to clock somebody with it. That's the main point. It doesn't matter what it was. The main point was that he wanted to bash someone's skull in with it. That was wild, man. And it even looked like either a fan or a manager or somebody else, some guy with khaki pants, right there in the middle of the whole thing. Players are swinging at this guy. I don't know what he did or what he said, but man, was it intense. After the entire thing, eventually both teams ended up having to be separated, obviously. Police coming in, all the staff from both teams coming in to break up the fight. Both teams head back to the locker room. And then the officials decide, hey, technically, there's still 0.1 seconds left in the game. So both teams had to bring out 5 players to come back and represent their team while K-State just went ahead and took a couple free throws. That's how the game ends in Lawrence. The announcers are saying it during the broadcast. There will be ramifications for this game. Obviously, tons of suspensions we expect are coming. And at the very least, Tennessee's in a good position because at the very least, guys will be getting a 1-game suspension. At bare minimum, I think.
Well, I feel like bare minimum would be a half. I feel like bare minimum would be a half.
Okay, sure. Maybe for the guys who really didn't do anything.
Yeah. But, go ahead, Fish.
Who else really got involved besides D'Souza? I mean, it was a scrum, but you couldn't really...
So they also say that Marcus Garrett and then David McCormick, those were the two of the people that were really kind of in the middle of the scrum.
Are the second two any good? Because D'Souza is not very good.
That's a good question. McCormick is averaging about 8 points a game, 5 rebounds.
Too bad we couldn't get Azubuike in there.
I know, that would have been great. Back
somebody should have just
back
came
to
up.
Back years where they couldn't use Azubuike.
Somebody just should have just came up and sucker punched Azubuike right in the face.
We really needed K-State to try a little bit harder here.
Yeah, but the only thing that sucked, like, you know, they had their it was garbage time, so they had, you know, mostly reserves on the court for Kansas because they were beating the hell out of K-State. And not the first time somebody's stole the ball on Kansas late, scored a bucket. Remember that Monmouth guard a couple weeks back? I think his last name was Pappas. He did the same thing, and they were getting beat like 110-55 or something, and he steals the ball, and then he goes down and dunks it, white guy. And then he stared him down after he dunked it.
I do remember that. But see, here's the thing. I mean, as far as they're good players, everybody was ejected from the game last night.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Well, they had – even though there's the one guy who picks up the stool, and then there's other guys trying to get to the fight. I mean, there's at least like 4 or 5 Kansas players involved in that. They were trying to get to the fight or throw blows or pushing or shoving or something. So we'll see. I feel like the way Kansas does things and how the fortunate luck that they have with, you know, the NCAA violations and everything, probably won't be a damn person suspended when Tennessee plays them. It'll be next week.
They better be. I will be.
You're gonna go.
Irate.
We go into the offices.
Oh, people will lose their minds.
We will call.
Nobody gets suspended.
We will call the Big 12.
We will.
What's the Big 12 commissioner's name?
We will call the Big 12. We will head to Indianapolis.
Oh yeah. Okay. We'll get Wes to call him.
Bob Bowlesby.
You think you can take down name. Bob Bowlesby?
Yeah, Wes from Fox Sports going in on.
Oh, yeah, Bowlesby. You could kick his ass. Let's see.
We'd have to go to Irving, Texas.
Is that where the...
That's where the Big 12 comes.
Going home, Rick.
Wow, okay. Road trip. Wow. Look, there's got to be...
This guy looks like a dweeb.
This is so good for us. There has to be suspensions. I know maybe there's some part of us that says, it's Kansas, don't hold your breath. What are they really going to do? Are they going to find their way around this? I can't believe it.
Maybe you can get a toupee, and you and Bill Self can be the toupee brothers. You can fight for the right to wear the toupee. Loser has to take it off.
Fight for the right to toupee.
Even, say, worst case scenario, they don't get suspended. I still think it's a big distraction, and I think our team's going to have confidence going in.
Yeah, I mean, Rick, you said it last night when we were watching the game. It was right after the Kansas stuff happened. You're like, I hope we kill Ole Miss tonight and look good. And that's exactly what happened. And like I said, I pump the brakes just a little bit because teams that we played aren't that good. But Tennessee kind of coming in on a hot streak. Coming into Saturday, so I mean we'll see. I mean I think Tennessee's going to be feeling good about the game. And I mean when do you think we'll know about the suspensions? Later
well,
today.
Well, Wednesday. Bill Self today? Did say yesterday that I guess today is Wednesday, but Bill Self did say in his press conference yesterday that hey, the Big 12 would be announcing things at some point today. So right now, I think we kind of have the mindset of hey, we know that suspensions are coming out. Obviously, none of us really think that Tennessee can beat Kansas if they were full strength. But I think that a lot of us believe that, hey, you could be in a position where you have a shot to win that game. But we got to know who gets suspended first. The other guy, Weston, that we were talking about was number zero, Marcus Garrett, I believe it was. He's averaging about 10 points a game. I think they're point guard. So certainly, at the very least, they're going to have multiple starters likely out. And we'll see where things go from there. Hey, let's jump over to these phone lines real quick. Let's start the day, get a call from Willie. See what he thinks about this Tennessee game, see what he thinks about this Kansas brawl. I don't know what he's going to talk about. Hey, good morning, Willie. Welcome to the show.
The first thing I want to talk about is, did y'all see that scumbag Jason Williams this morning on Get Up?
No, I haven't.
Don't get up that early for it.
Oh, man. That scumbag... He was actually taking up for that guy that had the chair up over his head that was wanting to crack somebody's skull. He claimed that was a rivalry game, and people were blowing it out of proportion. And what it comes down to is he didn't hit anybody with the chair. Well, hell, the only reason he didn't hit anybody with the chair is because the assistant coach came up behind him and jerked it out of his hand. I mean, what? Yeah. What kind of idiot gets on national television and says something like that wants to keep his job?
Yeah, I don't know how you can have that take, right? Like,
somebody on those type of shows, somebody's got to have that. You're right. That polar opposite take.
So yeah, they got to have a debate somehow.
So they can debate it.
You're right, and that just shows you how ESPN's gone to hell. Really, that show is so much worse. The while they broke up Mike and Mike. I mean, that was stupid. That was the best show on TV.
I think what the funny thing was that even yesterday when we were watching the game, you know, we flipped over during halftime of the Tennessee game to just watch some coverage, and you know, they're just your typical analysts talking about how unacceptable this all is and this, and I was like, man, just get up there and like start reacting to the fight, be like, that was crazy, this was happening, and Cody was like, well. They're not going to do that. Like, it's kind of us who are going to do that. So, you know, and you're right. In those kind of shows, and this is what Chance said, you just got to have somebody to debate against. You know, they won't sit up there and make fun of the fight, just laugh at the funny parts. They got to have professional debates about it.
And he was kind of directing criticism toward Bruce Weber. Bruce Weber didn't do anything.
Did you guys see during the fight Bill Self – holding back those two players?
He looks so mad.
With each arm, just he just had a death grip on their jerseys.
Wouldn't it have been great to see that toupee fall off?
Yes.
Would have been great to see Bill Self just get clocked by some unsuspecting K-State player, one of his own even.
Bruce Weber, Bill Self, midcourt.
That's how you settle it.
The fight of the
like
century.
The king, just do a one-on-one.
You know, if he does wind up going down, it'll be interesting to see who Kansas goes after. You talk about one of the top jobs in the country.
Yeah, and I mean, they've going all the way back to the whole scandal with Adidas and the pay for play, all that stuff, going all the way back to that. Then you go back to this. You had D'Souza was one of the players that they were reportedly
caught paying for.
I think like $20,000.
He was originally suspended this year, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he was suspended this year. And then remember the start of this year? You had Snoop Dogg and the strippers and the money guns for their Midnight Madness thing or whatever. I mean, it's just been one huge distraction for Kansas this year. And I think it's playing out pretty good for Tennessee right now.
Yeah, I think we'll beat them Saturday. But when you look at the whole picture, I mean, if Will Wade still got his job, what's the chances they actually get rid of that clown?
Huh? I mean, I don't know if the NCAA will do anything or not. But
and that's why, and I hate Florida, but that's why I was for Florida last night to beat LSU. Although I'm glad they didn't let that game go to overtime because we'd have missed the whole first half of the Tennessee game.
Yeah, we would have.
But something people didn't catch that I caught last night is LSU's timekeeper screwed Florida because the clock is not supposed to start until it touches a player. And it was a bounce pass, and the clock operator, I watched it two or three times, the clock operator started the clock as soon as the ball hit the floor. So that bucket should have been good, and it should have went to overtime.
Yeah, there was between the ending of that game and then also Georgia held with Kentucky fairly well last night. There was a ton happening in the SEC yesterday for certain.
And why don't these Eastern Division SEC teams raise hell and make them change its policy? I mean, why is Tennessee playing at 9 o'clock? There are 8 teams in the Central time zone and only 6 in the Eastern time zone. Why is Tennessee playing at 9 o'clock in local time and LSU is playing at 6 o'clock? I mean, that's an inconvenience to both fan bases.
Yeah.
It's hard to get to a game by 6 o'clock.
Yeah. I mean, that's an early game for them, and that's a night game for us. I totally agree with you. Brandon was trying to talk me down yesterday from it, going, "Hey, we have these games. What are you?" And I was
they
like,
do.
"I was like 9 o'clock, dude. We shouldn't have these games. Like these are trash. They're hard for the people at the stadium who are going to the game. You're gonna have less of a turnout regardless."
I agree, they are trash, but they have about 2 or 3 9 o'clock games a year.
Got to be used to it by now.
But here's what I'm saying. All right, if there's not an option and they're trying to make money, okay, I can see that. But when LSU's starting at 6 o'clock, that's stupid.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
They should have just flipped those 2 time slots.
Yeah, it would have been certainly a convenience for us. Hey, Willie, anything else for us today?
That's all I got, guys.
Hey, we appreciate you calling as always. Yeah, man, he would... One of the things that we definitely got to get into later today, he started to mention it, definitely that Florida game, Florida LSU, what's happening in the SEC right now, because Chance, you even mentioned at the beginning of the show, you know, the top of the league right now certainly can fluctuate. Certainly can. Hey, let's do this. Let's catch a quick break real quick. Catch back up on those. And then right when we get back, Phil, stay right there. We're coming to you to start up the next segment. Don't go anywhere. You listen to the Blitz, Fan Run Radio.
Two 45 Tech is a Knoxville-based web development company creating successful web and mobile applications. 245 Tech's secure web attack team is the new standard for website management. Located on Kingston Pike, these are the go-to guys for support, speed tune-ups, and malware protection. 43% of cyber attacks are aimed at small to mid-sized businesses. Don't wait to become another statistic. Give them a call today at 865-465-4040 or visit online at 245tech.com.
It's the best time of year in the sports calendar, and if you've been thinking about betting on it, now's the time to sign up with MyBookie. Between football season, the NBA, NHL, and more, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action. Simply go to mybookie.ag, the official sportsbook of Fan Run Radio, and use promo code Knoxville. Tons of ways to play and tons of ways to win. Use promo code Knoxville to double your first deposit. That's promo code Knoxville. MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid.
Okay, open wide. Yeah, I think the basketball team looks pretty good this year, too. It's going to be hard to replace Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield, though. At Knoxville Smiles, we speak your language. Cosmetic dentistry, implants, restoration, and general cleanings, we do it all at Knoxville Smiles. See for yourself by booking a free consultation today at KnoxvilleSmiles.com or by calling 539-1776. That's KnoxvilleSmiles.com, creating beautiful smiles one relationship at a time.
Hi, I'm Bo Kregner at the Kregner Group at United Real Estate. Are you thinking about making a move to a home with more space, downsizing with an empty nest? I'd love to do a free consultation with you and discuss how our highly organized and effective marketing plan can get your home sold. Just looking to buy? I can help you there too. Visit my website at boknowshouses.com or call me direct at 865-742-1035 and let me show you why our motto is Real Estate the Right.
My name is John Reed, and for years people made fun of me for not drinking beer. I tried to find some replacements, but they were all far too sugary and left me feeling bad. Lucky for me, I found Truly Hard Seltzer. It's refreshing with only 1 gram of sugar. You truly love to see it.
It's the dawn of a new game day, and Truly Hard Seltzer is subbing in for light beer. With 5% ABV, only 100 calories, and that's light and refreshing. Game day with Truly Hard Seltzer. Drink what you truly want. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, drink responsibly.
Hey guys, has erectile dysfunction got you down? Well, get back up and back in the game with WaveTech Medical right here in Knoxville. WaveTech uses cutting-edge acoustic wave therapy to restore blood flow and restore your love life with no surgery, no pills, no injections, no Band-Aid fixes. Set up your free consultation today by calling 865-761-4401 or visit WaveTechMedical.com. Catch the wave today at WaveTech Medical.
All right, back here on the Blitz, 10:42 a.m. Chance, throwback song there. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
The library is thick now.
Oh, yeah.
I was in here doing a lot of work in the lab yesterday.
Did you add a bunch?
Oh, yeah. Doing a lot of work in the lab yesterday.
Oh, my.
The library is thick with two C's.
I would like to say that we do have the best best bumpers.
Yeah, I don't know what that awards thing was about. Yeah.
Did you throw in some 80s music?
Yeah, I did.
Good deal.
I did.
Did you throw in more Paul Abdul for Fish?
It might be one in there for you.
Maybe some Whitney.
Maybe. You just want to dance, don't you?
Yep.
Dance with somebody. Somebody who loves you.
I want to know.
I could see you jamming out to that, too.
Hey, we get Fish some drinks. Man.
I want to know.
Hey, have you ever done a karaoke night?
This guy is
a big done a karaoke night.
What's your go-to karaoke song?
Neon Moon by Brooks and Dunn.
didn't even take him a second.
By Brooks and Dunn.
Went to straight kicks Brooks and I forget the
Ronnie
other.
Dunn.
Ronnie Dunn.
That's the go-to.
Hey, do you have any for in a minute? Do you have any karaoke Fish stories you can think of? Are there any good ones?
No.
They're probably all hazy.
That's a good point right there. Maybe that's it. All right, hey, let's get over to the phone lines real quick. Phil, Good morning. Welcome to the show today.
Good morning, Fabulous.
How you doing?
Pretty good. How's Brandon, Chancellor, and Filet doing?
Doing pretty good, Phil.
Feeling good. Feeling great,
doing
Phil.
Good.
Guys, wasn't that the best first half Tennessee's played all year?
Absolutely. In all facets. Outside of, like, the early games when they were just stomping those, like, weak non-conference opponents that don't really matter on the schedule.
And really, what's going to determine our season is if Josiah James and Conway and Plavlich and a little Pember and Gaines here and there, how this recruiting class improves is going to determine how good this team will be.
I guess
Vescovi's got to put him in there, too.
Yeah,
Vescovi for sure.
But last night, I mean, especially James and Kamwa, I think they stepped up and played pretty well. Both gave you solid outings. James, 11 points, 6 assists. I said it before, and I know it's kind of a point guard by committee right now, but I really like when James is running the point.
Yeah, that's true. Vescovi's their best shooter, but everybody's face guarding him now and making it difficult for him to get the ball. So let's just let him go out there and make assists and stuff, and it'll open up other people.
Yeah, you can tell that he's still able to create so much offense, even though maybe the shooting has regressed a little bit, like you said, due to the different ways that people are defending him. But, man, you can still get him to dribble around defenders, dribble through defenders, and create offense that way. I really like what we're doing. I mean, hell, we shot 50% basically from the field yesterday. Obviously, that's typically not something you carry around from game to game, but when you need a lot of confidence heading into the next game, that's about as perfect as a game you could have asked for last night.
Yeah, and for those like that saying, like, I mean, they shot very poorly from three still. They got to get that going to even, like, you know, really start competing down the stretch. Three ball's got to start hitting. But they did the other things. They attacked the basket. You got to the free throw line 24 times. You know, if you can't hit that three ball, you got to do other things. You got to be aggressive and go to the basket. You got to get to the rim, try to draw fouls. You got to work the high post, low post game. You got to do all those things. You got to muck it up a little bit if that three ball isn't falling.
Isn't Will White got charmed life down at LSU?
He makes me sick.
He does. He is so greasy just on the sidelines.
Well, Saturday, I wonder how many people will be suspended. I think if you leave the bench, you're automatically tossed at least for the first half of the next game. Is that a rule, or am I right or wrong on that?
Well, in the NBA, I know if you leave the bench, that's always been a rule where they get suspended. I remember Amari Stoudemire back when the pivotal Western Conference final, he left the bench, didn't even throw a punch, and that put him out, and the Suns didn't go. But I know that's a rule in the NBA. I'm not sure about in college. I know in the NBA, if you leave the bench, you get suspended.
And so this D'Souza guy and one or two other guys involved in this?
Yes, it was the point guard number zero, and then there was one more who I can't remember the name of, but I believe he was a sophomore forward. But I definitely think that at least three people will miss the Tennessee game in its entirety, at least.
Yeah, and two of them are pretty good, pretty big in their cog over down there. Kansas.
That point guard, I think Rick said it averaged 10 points a game, and then the forward, like, 8. The D'Souza is not that good.
So the point guard's name is Marcus Garrett, by the way.
But yeah, he's kind of their jack-of-all-trades player.
Yeah,
he's
he is.
He's kind of like Ease Pons, except he's a better shooter.
McCormick was the other one who they were mentioned were in the thick of things for the fight. But here's the other thing about McCormick. Not really Chance, the one that you just mentioned. Remind me of his name one more
Marcus
time.
Marcus Garrett.
So besides Garrett, they talked about McCormick and D'Souza. Maybe those aren't the best guys, but you look at this. David McCormick is 6'10", and D'Souza's 6'9". So at the very least, what you need to do is – you know, you are obviously going to have a disadvantage in terms of they just have bigger guys than you. Man, this is going to certainly even the playing field. If you're taking away two guys who are almost 7 foot tall for them, then I feel immediately better about what John Fulkerson and Eve Pons and Yoros Plavsic are going to do.
Well, the key is going to contain Dotson and Azubuike. That's their two best players.
Yeah, the Azubuike, That one, you really wish that he was involved in the fight. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, well,
I guess Plavich tried to guard him, won't he?
Who?
Plavich tried to guard him.
Yeah, the battle of the 7-foot centers. But who knows? Like, we even might be one of the guys that, you know, maybe what we were talking about with the suspensions and the ejections. Maybe they, because they left the bench, they were over at least near the brawl. Maybe they won't be in for a half. Maybe they won't be in for the whole game. I don't know.
I like this trap Tennessee's been playing the last two games.
The full court trap?
Well, it's more like a three-quarter court
trap.
They pick up about three-quarter court, and they start trapping, and then they rotate, you know, the weak side defender, trying to get steals and get him into a, you know, helter-skelter.
Have you guys noticed Tennessee Bank playing a little bit of a faster-paced game recently? I kind of feel like I noticed that yesterday, at the very least, but maybe that's just because you have such a big lead.
Somewhat. The defense intensity has picked up. You can't score the ball. You got to be playing great defense. Good defense can lead to great offense.
And it kind of has, you know.
Well, it's good to hear Sweet Willie. Y'all getting plenty of air time, calls W, you know, cuts him off about every time he calls.
We love our callers. What can we say?
I love y'all. See you.
Phil.
Oh, my God.
Phil.
Oh, my God.
Getting emotional.
We're about to get sentimental here on the show.
Getting emotional on the
Phil's
Blitz.
Phil's new favorite show, The Blitz.
I'll take it. I bet he's never told Bear that.
I don't know.
One up.
Everybody loves get blitzed. We just sold out all the floor seats. Breezy.
All right, back here on the Blitz. Only a couple minutes left here in the first hour before we move into hour number two of the show today. Brandy, you had a question you wanted to bring up. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, we talked about it yesterday, the earthquake.
Oh, yeah.
Fish said he felt it. Was it pretty serious? Pretty serious stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Were you frightened?
Yes.
Did you run to the bathtub?
I did not. I just got home. And I don't know if you guys knew, but it was like a couple miles away from me, like the epicenter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Campbell County, right?
Yep. Yeah. It was right above La Follette.
Any property damage?
Were any of your animals going crazy?
Yeah, dogs barked.
Before it even happened, right?
No.
I heard some people telling me that.
Yeah, that would be creepy.
So does it really feel like a little rumble? Like I don't.
I mean, it was like 5 seconds, like... And it almost felt like you could feel it pass, like blah, 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 like it ran past you.
What? Like that again.
How did it, what was that?
Blah, 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 blah. Like it felt like it like ran past you. Like you could feel it like one side of the house to the other.
Like Tremors?
Yeah.
Like some snakes under the ground.
Underrated movie.
Nah, that was underrated.
Yeah, it might be cheesy, the right word.
Cheesy movie. Properly rated.
It was a 3.7 I saw on like the national earthquake thing, and it was saying where it was. And it was like, I guess this is normal for all earthquakes, but I thought this was kind of creepy. It's like 20 miles underneath the ground is where it happened. So can you imagine how big it probably was underneath the ground for like people
to fill it?
Yeah.
Surface.
You said Tremors underrated. It has an 88% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
Yeah.
Kevin Bacon.
I watched it like 2 years ago, and it was rock solid.
So you are a big fan of it.
Yes.
If it's on, I'll watch it.
I never
thought it would be an 88%.
I've really never even heard of
it.
It's
certified.
You've never heard
fresh.
Of Tremors?
With 1990? Kevin Bacon? Oh, dude, you got to watch it.
Ron Underwood.
I had a
key director.
I had a guy that I went to school with that loved these movies.
Yeah, like Tremors 2, okay. Tremors 3,
crazy obsessed with the Tremors movies.
Wow, maybe I might have to give it a watch. Tremors, huh? Hey, anyways, we got a packed hour number two for you, so do not go anywhere. You listen to the Blitz Fan Run Radio.